Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, Wait, You Know Not the Hour. It's based on the gospel lesson from Matthew 25. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this, the last Sunday of the church year.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel for the last Sunday of the church year is from St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. We get to sing another wonderful hymn this week. I think we actually sang this last year or the year before, also from the Lutheran hymnal, "O'er the Distant Mountains Breaking," a fantastic hymn that goes perfectly with the sermon text for today and also with the gospel text from Matthew 25. So I invite you to remain seated as we sing that hymn. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. These words recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Thus far the text, you may be seated. It's a joy and delight to welcome you again this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our crucified, our risen, our ascended Lord, and the Lord who promises to come again, despite the fact that the wait sometimes seems long. And talking about waiting, you and I wait for a whole host of things. You wait for things really all week long. You wait for things such as, let's see, phone calls to be returned. You wait for text message to be returned. If you're me and you send out 5,000 emails a week, sometimes you wait for emails to come back to you. But we spend our week waiting for a whole host of things. Or even probably your favorite app. If you have a cell phone and you know how to get to the app store and you pull up one of your favorite apps, probably Amazon, which might show up to your house several times a week, possibly once a month, once a week, who knows? But what happens? When you order something on Amazon, your phone gets this little ping saying that your delivery is planning to come today, and then it tells you the delivery time, usually a two-hour window, and then following behind from that, then what happens? Then you get this nice little thing that says, your delivery is 10 stops away, it's 8 stops away, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then sometimes it doesn't show up for like 4 or 5 hours after that, and you just get tired of waiting. And then there's even the answers to things which you're waiting for that is simply out of your jurisdiction, out and away from something that you can control, and you're stuck waiting. You're stuck sitting around wondering, when in the world is this going to happen? When in the world is this that I asked for going to come to me? And eventually, sometimes, people just throw in the towel, they wave the white flag. If you've ever seen the cars disabled on the side of the road that have the white flag sticking out of the window, that they have gone to go and get some help, or the car just isn't going to move and they gave up trying to fix the car on their own, so they left to go and get help. But eventually, sometimes we just throw in the towel and give up. But what does Jesus teach us in this parable, in this text from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel? Well, Jesus teaches this parable, and he teaches it for a specific reason. He doesn't just tell it because he's some kind of good storyteller, but instead he gives this parable to show that the Christian life is mainly not about predicting, for instance, that Jesus will return, because we know that. He's told us that. He's promised that. When he ascended into heaven, he promises that he will come again, and the angels so too declared that. But we're not trying to pick a specific date, because as you know, there have been many throughout the history of the church who have said, "Look, look, look over here. On this day in a month from now, Jesus is going to return. In 2 days from now, Jesus is going to return." And then what do? When Christ does not return, well, they pick a new date. And then they bump it up a year, two, three, four, 5 years down the road, and we're all still here. So what does that tell us? There is no use in trying to predict a date when Christ is going to return, because we have the promise that he is going to do that. And Jesus gives this parable not specifically for that purpose, but he gives this parable to teach about living faithfully, living with faith, and staying in the faith as we wait. Because as we know, the wait sometimes feels pretty long. And if we look at the text, look at the virgins. There's 10 of them. All 10 virgins look like they are ready. They outwardly look like, hey, you know what? I'm ready for Christ to return. But only some have prepared to remain steadfast for the long night which is ahead as they wait for their bridegroom. And so it is that the foolish virgins that we have here, what do they show us? Well, they simply show us the danger, the lurking danger, the danger that waits around, and the danger of a faith that simply starts well. Something that you say, yes, 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 I want this. I want to be a part of the church. I want to come to church. I want to hear God's words preached in its truth and purity. I want to receive the sacraments rightly. I want to do all of these things. This is great, and you are so excited, and praise God for that. But then what happens? It's not sustained. And that is where we end up today. And because of that, as we can see, some treat faith, some treat the gift that the Holy Spirit gives to us, this gift of faith, they treat it, well, I don't know how many of you have house plants here, not me because I'm not good at tending plants, but think about it. Think about house plants and how people treat their house plants. Well, they water it once, it's great, it looked good, it was on sale at the store, it was on clearance at wherever the local garden store is out here. I don't know where the nearest one is, but I'm guessing if you were looking to buy plants, maybe you'd go to Southwick. I think they have a lot of farms out there. But they water the plant once, maybe twice if you're lucky. They take a picture of themselves with the plant. They post the thing on Facebook and say, look at this lovely plant that I got. This is going well. This is going great. And they feel proud of themselves. They pat themselves on the back, brush the dust off of their shoulders, and then wonder why. 3 weeks from then, why does the plant look like it's half dead? Because it has not been maintained. And the problem a lot of times is not always some kind of just open rebellion, I want nothing to do with the church anymore. Yes, sometimes that is the case, but it's not always that. It's the quiet, slow drift. The drift of what? Think of, for instance, maybe the fall breeze that is quiet and slow. And what happens? Gradually drift away from the Word. Gradually drift away from a life of prayer. Gradually drift away from what? As we're going to hear in the next few weeks as we head into Advent, as we hear John the Baptist who calls us to repentance. But drift a life away from a life of repentance and turning back to Christ crucified for us. But the drift away, a lot of times it doesn't happen with some kind of big, loud herald trumpeter that gets up on your front doorstep, blows the trumpet, and then all of a sudden you hear this bold announcement that comes from somebody's doorway that says, you know what? Today I'm going to commence my own spiritual decline. Not how it works. I've never heard it. If you have, please let me know because I'd like to know. And as one of the pastors, I'd love to talk to that person. But nobody ever says, today I'm going to start my own decline. It's always something that starts off slow and just gradually progresses. And it starts with something like, you know what? I'm kind of tired today and I'm just going to skip this once. And that's twice and three times and so on and so forth. And then once again and again and again and again. And then, kind of convenient, but then you come up and it's already Advent. So if you made these statements this week, you're in good shape because the new church year starts next week and you can come back to church for 10 a.m. next Sunday. But it takes all of this time, and it just happens so slowly that a lot of times we don't even notice. And then you have another part of the same side of the coin, that many assume that the faith that they had years and years and years ago, I was baptized, I went to Sunday school, I was confirmed, and then I fell away from the church. But they assume that this faith will carry them into tomorrow, forgetting that faith lives only by receiving Christ and receiving his gifts that he gives us freely because he loves us dearly. As he gives us this day, his very body, his very blood, for the forgiveness of our sins, for life, and also for salvation. But here's the thing. When the midnight cry goes out, there is no amount of lip service, there's no amount of puckering up of the lips or anything like that that is going to replace a living, sustained faith. When the midnight cry goes out, where is it here? Let's see. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. There is no amount of lip service that is going to replace faith. No amount of lip service that is going to replace that which Christ has given to us and that which is sustained through his word and the sacraments. And so it is that the bridegroom, who's he coming for? Well, Well, the bridegroom is coming for his bride who he loves dearly, his bride, the church, those who have faith. And he comes with mercy. He comes with joy. He comes with delight. And he comes with all of these things that we've been waiting for. Think about it. Just in a week from now, the Advent wreath is going to be placed over by the lectern, not the pulpit, lectern over on that side. You got four candles that live there. You got three blue ones, a rose-colored one. No, it's not pink, it's rose. But reminding us that Christ comes to bring us hope, peace, joy. Joy is the rose one. And then love. He comes to fulfill all of these things. He comes to us. He came as a babe in Bethlehem. He comes to us this day in the Word and the sacraments. And he promises to come again. But he comes specifically for his bride, the church, with mercy, with joy, and with delight. And this oil, as we see mentioned here in the parable, is faith, worked and sustained by the Holy Spirit. And the wise are wise. Why? The wise virgins are wise because they cling to Christ. Not because they happen to be some kind of better planners that say, hey, you know what, on December 14th, of 2025, Christ is going to return. I calculated this by looking at my Bible and looking at all these prophecies, and you know what? Maybe he's going to come this day. No, that's not what's being said here. What's being said is that they are wise because they cling to Christ, not because they're some kind of better planners or have some kind of advanced knowledge or something, but because they have faith and the faith has been maintained. And for the believers, for all of us, this midnight cry, it's not something that should be startling. It's something which is comforting because it reminds us, as we see, that the bridegroom has not ascended to heaven and just forgets us. And we're down here dealing with sin of others, the sin of ourselves, our sicknesses, illnesses, all of the trials and tribulations, and all of these things that overwhelm our hearts and our mind from day to day. But the midnight cry is for the comfort of the saints, because the bridegroom, as we see, has not forgotten his own. If he'd forgotten his own and didn't care about us at all, well, he wouldn't give us gifts to maintain this faith. He wouldn't bring us to faith at all. He would just leave us down here and forget about us. Not the case. The bridegroom does not forget his own. And so it is that this watchfulness that is talked about, it appears in small habits. Yes, of course, large habits too, but also our small habits. Such as what? Reading Scripture in the home. Reading Scripture with families. Prayer in your daily routines. Prayers before your meals. Prayers before receiving and eating this food which God has given to you. And also, repentance. Recognizing, as I told the children, that you know what? We don't get to just dismiss God's law. But we know that we are poor, miserable sinners, and we frequently, regularly, always, just a minute after we receive the Lord's Supper, go and sin, and we need the forgiveness that Christ gives to us. And of course, there's the larger habits. Coming to church regularly, hearing God's Word preached, coming to receive the sacraments, coming and joining in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, think about it. We have all kinds of things going on here within the next 2 weeks. Even the Advent dinner. If you've never been, come. It is a wonderful, joyful night where we get to hear about the birth of Christ. We get to eat delicious food. I'm not sure if it's Linda. Is it being prepared, catered, cooked? Do we know? Linda's not up there. All right. There you go. Okay, it's going to be prepared. So this is your chance. If you're not part of the preparers for it, come and enjoy a meal that you don't have to prepare. And come and hear about the birth of Christ for you. And lastly, watchfulness means shaping our lives around Christ. It means shaping our lives around that which Christ has given to us. Rather than squeezing him in, as we so often do, we like to squeeze him into what little time we have. You know, I don't want to come to church if it's going to be an hour 15, an hour 30 minutes, who knows. I don't want to come to Christmas Eve services. It might be a little long, and we're just going to skip that this year. Or, you know what? I have something else going on Sunday morning, so I can't be here. So I ask you, this day, Try and flip these things. Instead of squeezing Christ into whatever time it is that you have, make Christ and the gifts he gives us first, and the rest of your life flow out from there. So therefore, the church watches. Therefore, the church watches in faith. Therefore, the church watches in hope. And the church watches by receiving Christ and his gifts. And therefore, as a result of all of this, as a result of that which the parable teaches, as a result of that which I've said this day, the whole church cries together one thing. Actually, I guess it's two sentences. But the whole church cries out two sentences. And it is, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. As we sang at the end of the hymn. I mean, think about it. The verses we just sung, the last one. Come, my Savior, oh, my Savior, quickly come. And even the second stanza, as we wonder, oh, my Savior, when will thou return to me? And the church cries, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Come to your waiting people. Come to your bride who watches and joyfully waits for you and expects your arrival. Come and bring each of us to the feast that has no end. In Jesus' precious name, Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn for this day, 515, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us, or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Go in the peace and joy of Christ. Amen.